Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John stays way too long at the butter pump and yearns for a simpler time when our superheroes could be a bit pudgier. Meanwhile, I share some of my pet peeves while traveling and tell the epic story of the man who played a chess match to save his own life. Plus a conversation about how getting older can make us more contemplative when it comes to things like traffic. Today's episode is not sponsored by Little Caesar's Pizza. What do you expect? It's $5. Get off our back. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hey, Johnny, it's another episode of Talk About That, and I got no pithy coming
you
got, in.
You didn't come in with a...
I got...
You couldn't have said... Sometimes you say, buckle up.
Yeah, I started to, but I thought, they're tired of hearing that one.
Yeah.
I wonder if they notice things
Bring
like that.
Bring your seat bags to their full and upright and locked position.
I wonder if they can hear us right now.
The audience?
Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Are you recording?
I just think we're having very... internal monologue type conversations like behind the scenes. You know, everything here is behind the scenes.
Have you been on a plane recently that's newer and you noticed that the seat bags don't go back anymore?
I've not noticed that.
They've removed that capability from some planes.
Let's be honest. They weren't going back much.
No, and it's an encroachment. I think I talked about this before, but I think if you're a good person, you don't lean your seat back.
I always lean my seat back.
I'm not changing my position.
His face, if you're watching video right then, that was a classic.
I'm not changing.
I don't think he was putting on. I think that was a true traveler, you're one of those.
Yeah.
I
was right about you.
We are judgmental travelers.
I do it a lot. And so, when you see people there that are not they're amateur travelers.
Yeah.
Or they're just, here's one thing that bothers me. I hate being just pet peeve.
Ugh.
Okay.
Johnny's so critical.
There's a thing when a family or just a big group is walking in an airport and they, for some reason, want to walk side by side.
Block the whole hall.
I call it a flesh wall. You're trying to get around this flesh wall. It's like, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Just get to your plane. Go two by two or something if you want.
Right. Noah's Ark, this thing.
Don't line up like Hands Across America.
Right. Red Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my wife and I'll be like, here comes a flesh wall. Got to get around.
Yeah.
She goes right, I go left.
We call them non-trads.
What?
Because in college.
Okay.
If you are not you're not a kid who came out of high school.
It sounds like we hate
20s,
people.
It does. I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
I'm letting you in on the inside judgmentalism.
Okay. All right.
But a non-trad student was like someone coming back to school.
Yeah.
And they're you just... stumbled into class.
Right.
After
they don't know the shorthand of everything.
Well,
yet.
It's not just that. We stumble into class and we put our heads on our desk and we just try to do as little as possible.
Yeah.
And don't. Mm-hmm. But a non-trad student is actually excited about learning.
Right.
Like they're
same
there.
With the airport. The people are like, look at all the planes.
Right. They're showing
We're going
up.
To Disney. And you're like, I'm just trying to get to Tulsa on time.
And they're asking the professor all kinds of questions, is giving us all extra work. That's a great idea. You guys should write an essay about that tonight. You're like,
right.
So it was a real, but non-trads were actually good students. That was a thing.
Yeah.
It was we're the ones who are bad.
There's nothing worse than a good student.
I know.
I think, if anything, you learn from the podcast.
I want to go back to school, and I'll be the non-trad, because I actually love learning now that I've grown into that age. So I liked learning then, too. I just needed the grade more and wanted to accomplish getting through college so that I could get a job and make money.
Yeah.
Still working on that. But,
Non-trad.
I mean, non, you know what it means.
No.
Non-traditional student.
Non-traditional student. Okay. Yeah. Non-trad.
So Laura and I will see someone in the airport and you're like, that's a non-trad traveler. Like, you know what I'm saying?
We're, a non-trav, if you will.
No. I think Johnny just made it. And like Johnny, he doesn't make all the things that you do, but he makes all the things you do better.
I'm BASF.
People don't know that reference, probably.
Yeah, it's an old 80s reference. I don't know. But yeah, I travel enough now that I guess I do have a little... You told me this, though, and I was kind of getting to this last episode. I was talking about how you... I've seen... I don't want to say growth, because that makes it... It's very condescending to be like, you've really grown, John. I couldn't stand you. No, but it's inspiring to see you kind of like learn to rest and learn to like live in the moment a little more and not just live from like accomplishment to accomplishment. As a parent, I see you kind of developing that, and it's really kind of cool, and it's inspiring to me. And one of the ways I see it is that you don't have as much road rage.
Yeah.
Anymore. Like you even said it the other day, you go, I used to think of like they're on my road. And you go, I had a thought the other day where I was like, you know what? This is our road.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a very like deep thought.
Yeah.
It's a very profound way to look at it. Like, we're supposed to share this. It's
yeah.
not just my road. And it exists only when I get on it. Like, it's almost like you think your parents were born the day that you were born.
Uh-huh.
You think that road is here so you can get from here to Hermitage.
Right.
So and I can the get- other people are in your way.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm treating the airport people. And so I get that there's an irony there.
But. We're completely joking about the airport people. But, but it is like a change of, I wanted to write a book called Share the Road because it works for all things. That's what we're doing with political process right now.
Yeah.
We think this is about me, my tribe, or my
right. Zero sum game.
Right.
If I win, they have to lose.
Right.
They want to destroy the country just for the sheer joy of it. I'm a patriot.
They
I'm a hero.
They would love it if they destroyed the country in which they live as well.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, and I still get frustrated, but it's so funny with driving and someone will be slow and I'll be like, and I'll have like this moment, you know, and I'll go, hey, you know what? And I'll turn to Laura. It'll be like this kind of joke. I'll be like, but you know what? It's good because we're sharing the road.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? This person has just, and I'll talk my way a little bit.
I laugh sometimes at it. Like if I'm in the fast lane and I'm already doing 10 over, just enough to where you won't get a ticket. I'm doing 80 and a 70.
Yep.
Somebody will come up behind me and I see them barreling at me.
Uh-huh.
I'll go over just so they don't have to like, they kind of honk at me as they go by and give me that. I just look at Curry and I go, that person's in a way bigger hurry than we are.
Uh-huh.
Like I have to have like, look, I don't know where they're headed. I hope they're not going to get into a wreck. They're late. We're not late. We're just doing this to get there. They're late. So God bless them.
There is a, there was a stat that came out and Tennessee is one of the highest among states. It's one of the highest places for, it has some of the most shootings from road rage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like Nashville, I feel like I know people who have seen guns pulled on them. Multiple people.
That's crazy.
Like personally, no. Like someone pulled up beside them, held up a gun or pointed a gun at them. Because they were mad about what happened on the road.
Crazy.
And so, like, trying to put a daughter on the road.
Yeah.
You know, there's a story I'd love to tell here, but I'm nervous about it.
No, you don't have to. You know, is this where you gave Sadie a gun and said, run amok, sweetie?
You go out there. And
before I even taught her to drive, I was like, you're going to need this.
Well,
she's what about this seatbelt?
No.
Let's talk about the gun.
I mean, that's what our show is now. Let's talk about the gun. It's one of those, like, I don't want this city to go that way.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is something in the culture of it means like this is my.
Yeah.
Like
I've been wronged and I have to right a wrong.
Yeah.
I'm being slighted. And it's a pride thing too because it's like you can't just let it go. For whatever reason in traffic, if somebody, you know, disrespects you, it runs all over you. And you're by yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that happens to you.
It is. It's like a different part of you is engaged. Like, I will confess this. I was running this week, and
I really appreciate that confession.
It was, gosh, I feel so much better. And, you know, I'm watching, so you run against traffic, and I have to always turn around and look behind me if a car's coming to see if another car's coming behind me, if they're going to, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
Like five cars may come by and two of them will pass each other at the exact same time, which means I'm now can't get
right.
I have
You're
to
in
get,
a
you
ditch.
Know.
Yeah.
So there was a car coming, but there's another car. I thought that they had time And I'm running and I'm watching and I'm watching and I'm watching. And they're not slowing down, number one, at all. And they're not getting over one bit.
Yeah.
And so I just jump into the ditch, really high grass.
Oh, boy.
And I do have this. This is the confession. Like, I do have this, like, I don't think this time, but sometimes I'll just throw my hands up. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you?
You know. And I just kind of looked at them and stared them down as they went by kind of thing, you know, as they zoomed by. And they stuck out their hand out the window. And they, I don't think they were flipping me off. They were either waving sorry or they were telling me to get over, get out of the way.
Huh.
But whatever it was, but here's the crazy thing now because I live
They're like, hey, that's my pastor. There was somebody that goes to church here. They're waving.
Honk if you love Jesus. And so here's the crazy thing, though, now that I live in, you know, it's not that we live in a really dangerous place, but the six in me. Because this is mostly my time listening to great music and getting my, you know, I'm all the centering and everything. The six in me is like thinking, you just disrespected that person and you're out here in this sort of deserted area.
Yeah.
And they could turn around and come back and shoot you.
Yeah. Like you're unprotected. They've got a car. You've got running shorts.
Yeah. And like, until I made the next turn, I looked behind me the whole, I kept looking back every probably minute. Yeah. To make sure that car wasn't coming back to reckon with me.
It's an exciting way to run, though, because now you have this extra.
It's like, I got to hurry up. I got to hurry up and get to this next place, you know. Yeah, but in retrospect, that's probably us.
It's like if you build in that little adrenaline for yourself. I like it. It's like if you ever left, like you watch Mission Impossible or something, and you're walking out of the parking lot, you have this extra exaggerated sense of yourself. Like, maybe I'm an action star.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm just going to go over here to... I'm going to go over here to Panda Express and get some.
I ate a large popcorn. Yeah. You know, the whole self-buttering system now they have?
Yeah, it's out of control.
That's
a mistake.
I stand there a long time.
McDonald's is taking the soda pumps out of their restaurants, and I wonder what that decision's about. Is it because we can't be trusted with soda?
Man, I don't know.
Is it to try to make the restaurant classier? I need to figure that out.
It's too late.
I need to try to figure that out.
Don't change what you're doing.
Because the insides of McDonald's are getting like more nice. They're getting industrial metals and things, and like they're muted colors. They're not the bright orange and reds and yellows. It's like this. They're trying to make it a let's go hang out at McDonald's, but nobody's doing that. But I don't know what they're doing. But they're spending billions of dollars to do it, and taking the soda pumps out is the next step in that.
Don't you long for a simpler time?
When you could just squirt butter directly into your mouth.
Yes. Like, you know.
Like a human being. Yeah. You can trust me with this butter. You're not going to get in trouble.
Mm.
Let me abuse this butter.
Let me mainline this butter.
But it's become a problem. Like, if you give people their own butter.
Yeah.
It's.
What could go wrong?
By the way, you know it's not butter.
I can't believe it's not butter.
It's partially hydrogenated soybean oil. That's what popcorn butter, movie theater butter is.
But it's so delicious when it soaks into the kernel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it better than butter?
Do you
I submit to you.
Do you like soggy popcorn? When it gets a lot of butter, it becomes soggy?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah. Then I'm like, ooh, we got enough.
Here's the thing, too. People do that with cereal. They go, this cereal retains its crunch in milk. It doesn't. I like soggy cereal.
Depends on the cereal.
Yeah.
Like
not like mushy like Life cereal with all this
pebbles,
mush.
Sog it up.
Sog it up.
I'm down. That's what that should be their new slogan.
Yeah. It will be now.
Slog it up.
Slog it or sog it? Slog it would be like that's
slog
fast, you're punching.
Slog.
You're fighting.
Hey, speaking of slogans.
Yeah.
We should take a word to hear from a few of our sponsors.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry if I inserted a random consonant into the word sog.
Words are important, John.
I know.
Okay, so this is true. So I've been reading from my journal on stage.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a joke book, and I just kind of, jokes I'm working on, I try out. I put them over music and stuff. It's a fun thing I do. And so I sell these journals at my table. It's kind of a whole bit. And they're fun. And I've talked about it on the show before, but somebody came to my show last night, and they had their daughter with them. They are in the front row. They watched the show. And they had bought a journal evidently after or before the show.
Okay.
So they were in the lobby and they went ahead and bought one.
It's dangerous. What if you weren't funny?
And so this, probably she was 11 or 12. She's writing. And I didn't notice it. But then the mother came to me after. She goes, this is my daughter. I can't remember her name. She said, she's autistic. And so I bought her a journal, and she was writing during a show. I go, oh, that's so neat. And she had like little like dashes and then like crossed out. When she gets to five, she crossed. You know how you do with like one, two, three, four, five. And it was like in different categories. And I was like, oh, she was counting like the jokes. She goes, I go, that's really neat. I go, did she enjoy it? She loved it. And I go, what was she keeping track of? She goes, she was keeping track of the different words that you were saying that she's not allowed to say. So it's like, I thought it was so neat, like an autistic girl enjoyed the show. And then it was like, oh, wow, the show's kind of edgy for us.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just funny. And so later on, and I looked at the thing, I took a picture of it. No, I didn't. I was like, oh, I should have taken a picture of that. And then later on, the mother, because this was like the aunt, I think, that had brought her the show. Okay. So then the mother's like, when my daughter got home, she showed me this, and then I heard that blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, I said, please send me a photo.
Wow.
And so she sent me a photo of the page of the journal that she had written, and it was like S, D, and I was like, what are these?
What are the words?
And she goes, one was stupid, which I do say stupid a lot.
She's
dumb.
Stupid.
I think I said crap once.
Oh.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
But I said dumb. I say dummy and dumb a lot.
You know, I wouldn't.
Even when I'm saying, it's like a little adjective that I throw in, like, I've seen 48 states over the last 15 years doing this dumb job.
Yeah, you say, yeah.
So I'm trying to minimize it a little bit.
It's usually towards yourself.
I'm a great, yeah. So, or my wife calls me a dummy if I have a night terror, you know, you dummy, what are you doing? But anyway, like, that's a bad word in their house. So she was just keeping track of, like, how many times I broke rules that she has. Maybe she's going to use it as, like, leverage of, like, the comedian got to.
Right.
But it was such a funny, like.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, how neat. Oh. She kept track of mine. She's like, no, actually, these are the rules you broke. Yeah. She wants you to see it. So.
That's great. That's great. But it's better.
Yeah.
It's better than someone just taking notes.
It's great.
You know what I'm saying?
Please.
It's a better story.
Yeah.
It keeps you humble, which God knows.
I need something.
We need some help with that.
I got to have something.
I mean, yeah.
I was, my twin brother goes to the shows with me a lot now. And now I have jokes that I do that involve him. And I've inserted him into some of the stories in a false way. Like, when I tell the story about hitting the deer, I make him the driver of the car. And my brother's a terrible driver, but I let him drive me all over the country. Anybody have a bad driver in your family? You don't know how to tell him? I was like, if you don't know who it is in your family, So, anyway, so now I hit the table. People come up and be like, is that true? Did you really? Are you that bad of a... Be careful out there. And he's kind of annoyed by it. So I'm trying to make a joke about him that makes me look bad now.
Okay.
One of the ones I have is that... He's 6 minutes older. We're twins, but he's 6 minutes older.
Right.
And so whenever we were kids and we'd be in an argument about something, he would be like, I felt that way when I was your age. I used to feel that way when I was your age.
Yeah.
Too. You, one day when you're my age, you'll realize. Right. I just think that's such a funny.
It's a great joke. Have you used it yet?
I haven't used it yet, but I think it's a funny comeback, like a twin could use.
I think you may have said it on the podcast before.
Oh, have I really?
I think
when
maybe,
I was your age, I said it.
I think
no.
So. Oh,
John, when you're my,
but it's good.
Yeah,
you need it. It's time.
Not everybody listens to every episode, John. So,
John,
do you think we repeat ourselves a lot on the podcast?
Probably.
Who knows?
It's like, so many episodes. You're like,
who can keep up?
And maybe we tell the story better the second time.
How many stories do we really have?
I mean, most of these are.
Do they
up.
Keep changing?
You know, when this writer strike came on, we didn't know what else to say because someone's writing most.
This is
for
AI.
Us. Yeah, right now, these are not even real voices, yeah.
I watched a Wilt Chamberlain documentary, and literally at the front end of every episode, it was three episodes, at the front end of it, it says, Wilt's voice is used, an AI generator, uses an AI generator, and we have been given permission from his family to do this. So basically, they took every, you know, thing that he'd ever said, and they generate an AI Wilt Chamberlain. So he narrates some of his own story, but it's artificial. I was like, this is,
you can do
it's
that
so
now.
Cool, but it's creepy too.
Like, you could take Winston Churchill clips, I bet. And you can now, you know, speak. He could tell the story.
Yeah. He could. Yeah.
By using his own words. Although we have a lot of,
he could preach here one Sunday,
bro.
Huh?
Guys, this morning,
this week,
I'm happy. No, Winston Churchill was not a preacher. Mind you.
No,
that's a weird guy to pick for a guest.
Yeah.
But you can be like, hey,
What's the famous Churchill thing that he said? Did he say fear itself? No, that was Roosevelt.
That's Roosevelt.
What was Churchill's big speech?
His big, he had
like,
many.
Did he have like a quote that like we would be, that I would remember?
No.
No.
Yes, but I don't know. There's so much, and forgive me. Did you watch the Churchill movie with John Lithgow?
No.
Which, what a transformation.
Yeah.
John Lithgow as Churchill.
Amazing. Amazing actor.
Like, how?
I like Lithgow because he does, like, comedy, the silliest thing ever, Third Rock.
Yeah.
From the Sun, and then, like, he can do, I've seen him do scary movies.
Yeah.
He can do Harry and the Hendersons, the family movie. He can do anything.
Well, and
period pieces.
The other guy that did Churchill, shoot, the guy from Slow Horses.
I don't know.
You do know. Okay. Gary Oldman.
Oh, okay.
He also did it.
Yeah, and Oldman's another guy that can just, like,
just turn into
himself.
Anybody.
He can be anybody.
You know what I watched the other day?
What's that?
Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
It was on. Yeah, that line came.
Yeah.
I was folding clothes or something. I was like, I'm just going to leave this on.
The president says, get off my plane.
Yeah. It's a little fantastical.
I like True Lies when the guy's hanging from the missile at the end by his backpack strap or whatever. Uh-huh. And then he's hanging from the Harrier jump jet. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you're fired. And then he hits the button and fires the guy.
Because it's a double entendre.
Good. It's a double. Well, double entendre implies that it's inappropriate, wouldn't it?
Well, he did blow the guy up.
That's true. That's not super appropriate.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It bothers me what you think is appropriate.
I apologize to our listeners. And I'm sorry my family had to see me.
This is about the journal again. So
it is about the journal again. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, yeah, those movies, you have to have a catchphrase, you got to kill the guy and with an icicle and be like, ice to meet you or whatever.
Schwarzenegger also said that in Batman.
He said freeze to meet you, which is stupid.
Oh, freeze to meet you. Yeah. That's way worse.
Yeah.
They were trying to avoid the cliche and made it worse.
I know. He should just have said ice.
The original Batman was along with Michael Keaton the other day.
Well, the original Batman would have been.
You know what I mean?
Jerry West.
The first.
No, not Jerry West. Adam West. Why am I saying Jerry West?
Jerry West.
Jerry West is
he came off the court.
The Lakers star.
And then he went. That would be a great.
I agree.
You would never guess.
Jerry West and Adam West had similar builds.
There you go.
You know? They were.
It was back when you could be a superhero without having a lot of muscles.
Yes.
Like, can we bring that day back?
Please.
Like,
let's set these unattainable goals for the kids.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Guys, I want to put on a spandex outfit.
Yes.
That I don't look good in.
Yes.
And still be considered a big hero.
Not be mocked.
Right. People to go.
Children.
You know, he's not much to look at, but he shows up.
But he saved Gotham.
Yeah.
It's like Green Arrow. Okay. Sure. You know, you got Green Lantern out there, whatever, the magical ring. Green Arrow, I mean, what does he do? I don't know.
I really don't know a lot about Green Arrow.
He can turn left whenever he wants.
That's right.
That's the magic. He can't save the day, but he's on time. He didn't get caught in traffic.
Remember that old, we have mentioned this, that old stupid movie.
What?
Oh.
Blank Man.
No, the other one. With Ben Stiller.
Oh, Mystery Men.
Mystery Men.
Mystery Men's very underrated.
Where he's Captain Furious.
Yeah.
He really has no.
He just gets very angry.
He just gets very angry.
Yeah. Somebody was terribly mysterious. Was terribly mysterious. Yeah. The Blue Rajah.
Because he threw spoons.
He's very mysterious. Well, that's his. Well, he's terribly mysterious. Oh, okay. I get it.
They get into a fight with the villains and he's throwing spoons. Like, dude, would it kill you to throw a fork?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
You know, one of my favorite Comedy Central roast comments ever was Ben Stiller was on the dais. He wasn't actually being roasted, but you know, you roast everybody that's there.
Yeah.
And somebody got up and said, like, Ben Stiller's here. And then Mystery Men had been out like a year earlier. And he goes, Mystery Men was so bad, I fired my agent. I think it's like a perfect line. Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was great too and very underrated.
It had,
go watch. It's not a sponsor.
No.
But, and we can't, I can't. I don't know the inappropriate content, but
no, it's probably terribly inappropriate, but
terribly mysterious. Yeah.
That had William H. Macy.
Yeah. Another guy who can do anything.
Yeah. As the shoveler.
Yeah.
And like his wife and him are having problems, you know, and he's like, but I just was made for shoveling. And she's like, baby, you can't shovel like no man I've ever seen.
We're not selling the movie very well. It's a ridiculous film.
It's ridiculous.
But William H. Macy is another guy that can do anything. He can play any kind of character. He can play silly. He can play straight. He can play anybody.
Also in Air Force One.
Is he really?
Yeah.
What is he like?
He's the
side. He's a little supporting.
No, he's the major, the Air Force major on the plane.
Okay.
He gets shot at the very, very end and saves the president.
Well, don't ruin it.
It's been out for 30 years or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Back when Harrison Ford looks no different.
No, he looks the same so then. Good. Yeah. He's still got abs. Speaking of superheroes, Harrison Ford.
I haven't
Ford.
Seen the new one, by the way.
Oh, it's very good.
Okay.
I was surprised. We okay. talked about like the apprehension of going to see it because Crystal Skull I never saw. You said, don't see it. But I saw the new one, and I really liked it. It's a very like nostalgia tornado piece.
That's all we need.
But it's very good.
Just answer me one question.
Okay.
Because what makes for me an Indiana Jones
movie? Is the map
movie,
where the line is going?
Does it have that?
I don't remember.
Okay. Does it have Nazis?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. He has to fight Nazis or it's not Indiana yeah. Jones. And yeah. For me, the best
if
two.
If it's not got Nazis, I will not see it. Is that what you're going to say?
To be clear, guys, I want him to defeat
Nazis.
So
you're saying if the aliens from the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull had been Nazis?
I might be down for that. Like, if you'd have told me that they were the ones puppet mastering Hitler or whatever,
yeah,
that would have been a movie.
It would have explained a lot, honestly.
Yeah, because how could you?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
have done that.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I don't know. It's got middling reviews. I think it did fine. Yeah. Movies are kind of in a funk, you know.
Yeah.
COVID kind of put us on a weird track with movies. Of course, now there's the writer's strike, but... So who knows? What's going to happen with entertainment? We were talking about it last time, my wife and I. It's been 4 months now.
Yeah.
So, is this our time? Should we jump in the fray? Should we be scabs? Write something?
I should
be. That could
go
on to be generationally great? Or at least, get through and get made because they're out of ideas?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
No.
Because
I think that's kind of a...
You hurt the industry
overall.
Sorry, guys.
We're not scabs.
No.
Why would you even bring it up, John?
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to. It was almost as if it just came out of nowhere, not even from me.
It was almost like I was laying in wait to say that to you.
I read an interesting article about that the other day.
Okay.
And that is that you got to think this through. All those studios are now owned by major conglomerate corporations, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And now with the advent of the streaming services, part of the problem is whoever's negotiating, they're not a union, whoever's negotiating with the union for the studios,
yeah.
they've appointed this organization, you know, there's infighting among the organizations over what to do because they all are built so differently. For example, if you're Disney, right, you're ABC, mm-hmm. The movies are a big deal
yeah.
for what they make for your company. But if you're Amazon, right studios, this is a side hustle for you.
Yeah.
So they're going to have different interests, you know,
right.
or if you're Apple, it's the headphones, it's the AirPods that are actually making you money.
Yeah.
You're probably losing money on your streaming service. Yeah. You know, and you're trying
just
to win
trying
awards
to stay in the space and be relevant.
Right. So they're not as nearly as upset or, motivated to go settle so
right.
quickly, but
it's not a monolith,
but they're all on the same team though. In theory, right. they have to all sort of come to a centered conclusion between varied interests about what to come to the table with in order to negotiate with the unions. That's always just interesting.
And won't that, don't we all need to come?
Isn't it though?
Aren't we all from varied interests?
Aren't we though?
And don't we all need to at least eventually come to the table?
This goes back to the road rage thing though. We need to share the studios.
There's a table in the road.
Guys, get your table out of the road.
Watch out.
It's like, yeah.
That's not safe.
Oh, I've seen it 100 times.
Don't drive in the table lane.
Mm.
As it were. John, it's time that we go back in our shared history as we come to the table for a segment we like to call Talk About Then. This week, 1993, John, the youngest girl ever to fly across the U.S., she flew from Maine and landed in San Diego 3 days later. Do you want to guess how old she was?
1993?
Yeah. Why would that matter? Why does the year matter?
Because...
Child labor laws?
The further history went, the
okay.
more we're allowing, especially women,
okay.
To do things.
Right.
So, I want to say, she flew solo?
It just says, take off from Maine, she landed in San Diego 3 days later. She might have had an assistant, I don't know.
9 years old.
11.
Dang it. I was going to say 12 at
Vicky
first.
Vicky Van Meter, congratulations, Vicky.
Yeah.
She's probably still around. The Battle of the Sexes took place. A lot of people would say it's still going on, John.
Mm.
It's an ever increasing war. Yes. Not in my house.
No.
We're a partnership.
Yeah.
We're a simpatico.
We're a egalitarian.
All of it.
Yeah.
50-50. Battle of the Sexes, though. Do you remember the Battle of the Sexes was the tennis match? Highly hyped. 1973, this week. 20-year-old Billie Jean King beat 55-year-old Bobby Riggs, who was kind of a misogynist. I think he was a radio personality, television personality. And he kind of was a loudmouth and was like, I could beat any woman tennis player. You know,
so she played him.
They played. It was a huge hyped, you know, television event. She beat him three straight sets. And this was Battle of the Sexes. And they went on, you know, they went on talk shows. And I think they later became friends. I can't remember exactly the end of the story, but I don't know. So,
there's no way to know. So.
Yeah. So congratulations to Billie Jean King. Let's see. This is an interesting one. Sister Elizabeth Kinney, who was a polio nurse, she was born this week in 1880. And the reason that she makes the list is she developed a controversial treatment for polio. The conventional treatment of the day was to place the affected limbs in plaster casts or braces. Kinney's method was to apply hot compresses to the affected parts of the body, followed by passive movement of those areas to reduce what she called spasm. Her success with patients led to the opening of polio clinics across Australia. This is pre-vaccine, obviously. One of her patients was Alan Alda, the actor who went on to be on MASH and many other things.
In Australia?
Yeah. He contracted polio when he was 7 years old. Kinney's principles of muscle rehabilitation became the foundation of modern physical therapy.
Wow.
So her techniques, and not just like, let's put him in a cast.
Alan Alda's Australian?
I don't know. Maybe he just wanted. Maybe he was an expat. Maybe his family was there. I need to figure that out. Why was Alan Alda one of her patients? It says she was a bush nurse, Australian bush nurse. Let me see if she was treating there or if she was. Yeah, polio clinics across Australia. So maybe he was in Australia for some reason. Wow. I need to find out why. That's what you take from this? Not that she founded physical therapy, but why was Alan Alda in Australia?
I'm sorry, the brain doesn't...
You're like, squirrel! I need you to focus here. Good grief. There was a movie in 1946 called Sister Kinney, and it was based on her work.
Okay.
So we need to go figure that out. Anyway, finally, John, this week, Ossip Bernstein, who was born September 20th, 1882.
Okay.
He played a life or death chess game.
Wow.
You're going to like this. A Russian-French chess grandmaster. Try saying that five times wrong. Russian-French chess grandmaster.
He's Russian and French?
I guess.
Okay.
Russo-French. Financial lawyer also. In 1918, he was arrested in Odessa by the Bolshevik secret police in order to be executed by firing squad for being a legal advisor to bankers. So this is a trumped-up charge, evidently, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows if it was legit? But he's going to be executed. As the firing squad lined up, an officer recognized the name of the great chess master. To prove that it was really him, the officer challenged him to a chess match. If Bernstein won, he would be set free. Otherwise, executed. Bernstein easily won and was released.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a great story.
That's great.
Yeah. So he gets out. He's just like, aren't you the guy with the... what would it be for you? It'd be like... Did you write the book, blah, blah, blah? And you have to, like, come up with some pros.
I need
pros.
You to tell me your story and let me collaborate on
it. I need you to come up with some pros right now that's going to wow this firing squad. For me, it would obviously be jokes. It would be like, make us laugh. The loaded gun. Make us laugh. If you're so good. And I got to bring it. I don't even know what I would do. I don't think I would do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be here.
No, I think you could do it.
You think I could do it?
Well, you got 10
Well,
minutes.
It is. They call it killing or dying. Like, that's, you know, it's a very aggressive medium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it literally is. Well, except I'm not killing them. I'm escaping them.
I felt kind of on the spot like that, not life or death. But so we have a friend, her daughter plays in the volleyball team for school.
Yeah.
And she's from Greece.
Okay.
And so we're sitting next to each other by the game last night. And so obviously she's fluent in Greek. I'm like, so I mean, I know some Greek, you know, from sermon stuff. I used to do a lot of Greek study. And so I felt this on the spot. So for the next like 20 minutes, I was kind of sitting. I was sitting there trying to think of the Greek words I know.
Right. And a lot of it's biblical, right?
Yeah, it's all biblical. Yeah. And so, but Johnny, it's all biblical. Come on now. But like,
get my book now at Amazon.com.
But like, it was like I was a little in that deer in the headlight.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know a bunch of words, but when I needed to come up with them,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the time I met with the big meeting and I couldn't say the word colloquialism. I was trying to convince them I could write and help them use colloquialisms. I couldn't say it. Like it's like, and I don't get on the spot kind of things like that very often, but I wonder if a firing squad.
Yeah.
They're like,
would that,
look,
would that snap it out of you?
Look, you're a pastor. All right. And you preach from the New Testament. Yeah. Give us five Greek words. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh man. You know, like I know them.
Right. Let's or say Russian, French, chess, grandmaster 10 times real fast. Russian, French, chess, grandmaster. Russian, French, chess, grandmaster. It's like sportscasters. I wonder if they do that because there's certain names in sportscasting and certain phrases they have to use every year. Like I wanted to do a video one time about people getting ready for rivalry week. And they're just rivalry week. And they can't.
Rivalry week.
And they're like, yeah. They're just saying it over and over because they. Guys, once again, it's rivalry week. But they keep getting it wrong. And one of them, there's two. There's Russell Westbrook and Russell Wilson, who are two hugely famous.
Russell Wilson.
You always want to say Russell Wilson. You can't, if you don't make your brain say right. Russell first, you're going to say Wussel.
Yeah.
Wussel Westbrook. So it's rivalry week here at Talk About That.
Wow, that's great.
It's always rivalry week.
It's so hard to say.
It's always rivalry week here because we are known bitter rivals.
Yes.
You must be stopped.
Well, this is the best way. This is how it's a long standoff with a firing squad. Like
it is.
If you guys are really podcasters,
and neither of us have any weapons.
No.
Or
wit, really.
No.
Intelligence.
And we can't play chess.
No. Actually, I love chess.
Are you good at chess?
I'd say not. Like, I'm good to beat children. I'm teaching how to play chess. Okay. Would that help?
I just want to clip out where it says you're good to beat children. Just make that a clip. And we... John Driver's running for the Senate. Here's what he said about corporal punishment. I'm good to beat children. Would you elect this man?
goes dark.
Paid for by Johnny W. For the
I haven't played an adult in chess in so long.
Yeah.
My wife won't learn. I asked her, we were passing a chess board at something that I was like, dude, oh, we were at the family reunion and I had a chess board. I was like, let me teach you. We have time. We're sitting here. She's like, nope.
Yeah. It's like, a lot. There's a lot of rules. Checkers is way simpler.
Johnny,
I'm more of a checkers kind of guy.
You would be so good at chess.
You think?
Yeah.
Because I think five moves ahead.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I react to your move. So that's why, like, I go, okay, now what do I got to do? I'm more of a reactor.
Well, that's kind of how chess is.
Yeah.
It's not just your own strategy without someone else in there.
But you're watching their body language. You're doing things. It's like poker a little bit.
It's not poker.
It's a little bit of poker.
You're not watching body language?
You're not?
No.
You don't care about my body language?
Like, you can't.
I shouldn't have been wearing sunglasses this whole time.
Poker, you're hiding cards.
Yeah.
Chess, all the pieces are on the board and you can see them all. Now, guys.
Won't that?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Let's put all the pieces on the board out here.
Yeah.
Guys, all our pieces are on the board. 280 of them.
Yeah.
If you want to go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com, you can get every episode. Enjoy with your family. Mm. Maybe you're on a long road trip this fall break. We don't know. We don't care. We just want you to listen. Go to the website, though. There's a button you can click if you want to support the show. We love our supporters.
Yeah. Smash that button.
Smash that like button. And our videos are always on YouTube, too. So if you want to watch the episodes, you can see.
And that's on our website, too. They're
very disfigured faces.
Yeah.
In addition to hearing our golden voices.
Yeah.
Go to johndriver.com if you want to read John's published works. Mm. Always new book ideas in the works for John. John's got a couple things he's working on now.
Yeah.
My website.
It's johnnyw.com.
JONNIEW.com. New tour dates going up every day. We're all over the country, all over the fruited plain. Please buy tickets. Mm. I love it when people come out to shows. It's been such a blast this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's a crazy amount of road travel coming
up. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, I'm gone like 10 of the next 12 days.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun, though. I'm excited. So we'll see you out there.
We're proud of you.
Thanks, Brian.
Hang in there, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey guys, we're proud of you too for the time you spent with us today, and we'll do it again next week on
Talk About That.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Scott. As a servant of God, wife, and mother of four, I understand the juggle of multiple roles and stages. That's why I created the Encourager podcast, to help guide us through the messy middle stage of life. Join me on the Encourager as we challenge the chaos and embrace harmony. Together, we'll create practical systems to balance your roles and fulfill priorities. And we will do it while having joy and energy for both home and work life. Tune in for inspiring stories and interviews, actionable tips, and methods to do both home and work life. Because here, we believe you can do all things, just not all at once.